Welcome to Walton Productions Be Epic Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Waller, from the Sam M. Walton College of Business. Our website is walton.uark.edu, where you can subscribe, comment on this podcast, and find links and other information related to today's conversation. We'd love to hear from you. I have with me today William Dillard II, Bill Dillard, CEO of Dillard's, and he is talking to me just about management and retail a little bit today. I'm proud of the fact that he is an alumnus of the Walton College of Business, and he is also a member of the Arkansas Business Hall of Fame. So how many stores do you visit per week?
It varies. Some weeks, 2 or 3, and some weeks, 10 or 12. The last month, I've been over to North Carolina, to Wilmington, to see the damage we had over there, see what happened. We were closed in Wilmington for 2.5 weeks. Didn't end up with any damage to our store, but the community had a lot of damage. Normally, we have the route that we go to the store. It's pretty direct, and I had them detour and go through downtown to see if they're... They cleaned downtown up almost totally. It was really, had to look to see where there'd been any flood damage. Once you got out in the neighborhoods, it was unbelievable amount of trees they lost. And go Friday, I was in Panama City. And I've been going to storms since 1970. We had 9 to 10 stores. And a store in Corpus Christi had opened in March of 1970. And hurricane hit Corpus in August of 1970, blew it away. And my father was in Asia, and I was kind of nominally in charge. And I got down there, and I listened to what the people that ran that group of stores wanted to do, and didn't agree with them. Their view was to shut the store down for an extended period of time and, you know, get it back in perfect shape. And I went, that ain't going to work. This store's doing like 10 to 15% of Dillard's total volume. We'd just gone public in 1969. And this is not going to work. We're going to have to be more proactive here. We've got to get the store open. And we were closed 2 weeks and 3 days. The storm happened on Monday, the first Monday in August. And we reopened on the third Thursday in August. And we did more business that last 10 days than we planned for the month. It was unbelievable. We had about maybe a third of the inventory in the store that you expect. His demands for merchandise was crazy. But you see how the world's never exactly the same. I was pressing the people to get reopened in Panama City. And I went down there, said 2 weeks ago Friday. And that hadn't happened there yet, although we did this week start to have small sales increases. We're the only person in the town open. And we literally have been feeding a substantial number of people. I have a friend that's a member out of the lotion, and he stopped me week ago Sunday. We were having a skillet tournament. And that's where we play with the caddies. And he said, Bill, you're getting a great reputation in Panama City. He said, I had a 110,000-foot warehouse down there that was destroyed. And he said, some of my people have been eating over at your store. He said, y'all are fixing lunch for you.
Wow.
Show up, basically. And, it, you know, it's interesting how people organize something like that. We have this security man in Little Rock, MLA. And LA, we'd gone down there to, you know, secure the store because they were having looting. The first week down there was unbelievable. They actually killed the fire police, the fire chief down there, trying to steal his fire truck.
You're kidding. Where was that?
Panama City.
My.
But things were terrible down there. But anyway, been going to storm damage since 1970. And Panama City's the worst. You know, it's there have been 2 Category 5 storms hit the United States. This is like 1 mile an hour being Category 5. And, you know, you compare it to Wilmington, which had a lot of damage. We had damage all the way into Asheville, and flooding in Raleigh and Durham part of North Carolina. Anyway, this stuff in Panama City is... It's more like a tornado. If you have ever been to tornadoes or hurricanes,
oh yeah, I went
totally
to
different scale tornadoes damage is much more intense, but a much smaller area, and hurricanes, broad areas. This thing, we have two storms down in that part of the world. One's in a place called Pier Park that's on the western edge of Panama City. It's the beach community start, and the other one's in Panama City. And basically, Panama City was basically the whole community's just the mall, Penny Sears, both roofs caved in, and the mall is closed. We're the only retail open in the mall right now.
Oh my goodness!
And anyway, so you know, my travel, I don't remember the last year I missed a store. It's been several.
Well, that's something that really impressed me. You visit so many stores throughout the year.
Yeah, I do. Well, it's just something I do. I mean, it's been easier because our store count's gone down.
That is amazing. Now, I know last year...
I mean, like this week I did six. Seven because I went out to Fayetteville last night. But I went to Tucson and Flagstaff, Arizona, Prescott, Arizona, Lake Havasu, Arizona. In any given two-month period, I'll be pretty much in a dozen states.
Well, I know you took me and some other faculty on a tour of the store in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. And we were impressed, one, at how quickly you walked through the place, but also just the details you knew about everything. You knew all kinds of financial numbers, and you knew all kinds of things about the store, and you saw things that needed to be changed. How do you keep all that in your head? And
Matt, one of the things that I say is happening to the world, my world now, used to be a big plus on having a good memory. Nowadays, it's a good plus to be able to use your phone. I mean, the young people, if I didn't have young people, I wouldn't know anything nowadays because I get in the car, we say, how big's that school? Like I was in Tucson day before yesterday. How big's the University of Arizona? You know, one of the young people, he's punched it up and got it in 30 seconds. If
all
I turn my phone on and I can make it, and I can hit one of my, you know, pre-recorded numbers, I've done pretty good. It's I just over the years, if you go places and, you know, ask people questions, you never can tell what you're going to turn up. Anyway, the interesting thing, they sat with my brother, but he's got reasonably much the same operating mode that I do. He was in a town where Sears is closed, and they told him the Levi business was up. And our basic view has been that Sears closing, other than it hurts the mall long range, is it's no impact on us. It's we sell so little merchandise that overlaps with Sears that, you know, we actually did a study this spring. Sears has closed about 100 stores at various times in the last couple of years that are in malls we're in. And we were trying to see if we could identify any trends. We couldn't find anything in the numbers. I mean, stores where they closed were no different to stores where they hadn't closed.
Is that right?
No difference. But, you know, then at the micro level, the Levi business is better than Sears closes.
Interesting.
You know, just some person, you know, could have been, I don't know who told Alec that, manager, assistant manager, or ASM, or somebody told him that. Checked it out. He's right. It went up, not dramatically, but, you know, 15-20%. It's enough that we upped the inventory level. We went and invested stores, this 100-odd stores, and added the inventory level at Sears and Levi.
Well, it is amazing what you can learn when you walk around and talk to people, but you have mentioned several times when you've spoken to classes and talked with people, you implement management by walking around. When did you start first doing that?
You know, my father always went to stores, and we used to have when I was a young man, we went to every store between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And that morphed into going once a year over the last 10 or 15 years. I don't remember exactly, but a long time. I would have been 11 years old. We lived in Texarkana, bought a store in Tyler. And I used to go with my father. I guess I was probably 12, 13. I was born in 1945, and we bought that store in 1956, and so we would have started going down there right after that. if it was on a Saturday, he was going down there, you know, if it was the summer or something. I went, no telling how many times I went to Tyler with my father. But as we opened more stores, I just always, you know, we went to them. I think it was much because my father wanted to have an airplane. Have an airplane, you need to justify it. He started out with an airplane in 1963, I think it was. He got a
What kind of an airplane was it?
So, small beach craft. It was a retractable gear beach craft, just below a peninsula. Went from there. He actually ordered a Baron in those days, and still today, you know, you order planes reasonably far in advance. The airplane manufacturers, when businesses get have a pretty good model, they get their orders and get part of the payments for the plane, then build it for you. Anyway, he had ordered a Baron and got the Debonair to fly for till the Baron came.
So I know you majored in accounting, and you've told me before that you felt like learning accounting really helped you in business. And what aspects of accounting were most helpful to you?
You know, I don't see how people are in business that aren't, that don't have accounting background. I just don't see how you can be in business. Most things about business revolve understanding the numbers. It's that question. It's me. It's so obvious on its face. It's, you know, if I was talking to Dr. Peters about it, it's just self-serving. But I just don't see how you would expect to make intelligent business decisions if you don't have a good feel for numbers. And accounting's not, you know, as people think. I have a 11th grader in high school. I've been talking to. She thinks she wants to major in business, but I've been talking to her about majoring in accounting. So I don't think I could do the work, and I'm not good with numbers. And I said, it's not about numbers, Georgia. It's just bad. If you want to be in business, you need to take accounting. I don't know. I wasn't somebody that came to college confused about what I wanted to do. I came over here and wanted to get a degree in accounting. I was basically finished my accounting. By the end of my junior year, I had finished all my accounting classes with CPA problems. I took that my first semester of my senior year. Literally that was in 4 years, you know, where now accounting's a 5-year program.
Right.
But in those days, it was a 4-year program for some people. Yeah. You could ask me that question 10 different ways, and I'd get about the same answer, which is I just don't see how you do well in the world of business without an accounting background.
And I know, Bill, when you look at the business you're in, where you have stores spread out across the country, you're constantly having to hire associates at the store level. You've got a fashion apparel that is changing every year, and you have to order
multiple
times per year, and you have to order it way in advance, and it's coming here from different parts of the world, sometimes parts of the world that are difficult to get to.
My main person that deals with our import business just got back from 2 weeks overseas, and I have been a big supporter of China. And the reason is because they, historically, if you order something from China, you get what you ordered. Price may not be as cheap as you can buy it in Bangladesh, but the quality's always good, and you get it on time. And we've just had very good luck. Because of what's going on in the world today, we have moved 70% of our receipts for next year out of China.
Wow.
We think we're ahead of anybody in the industry right now on that. There's 30% that just no other source for right now. I guess if we have a 25% tariff, we'll just have to pay it. We've protected ourselves. We had an early estimate of that about a month ago, and as we've really delved into it and got back and started to finalize the production for next year, we're going to have 70% out of China. What I'm not are sure some... it's a good thing. It's because China's been a good partner for us. We have some very good partnerships with factories over there.
So not only do you have to pay attention to changes in fashion, but you have to pay attention to politics and world events. It seems like a really complicated business to run.
It's probably not much different than most businesses. I think if you work at running a company, you've got the same problems. I mean, you said a while ago about hiring people. The number one thing in every business is always the people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just true here at your school. You said you had, Gary brought in 80% new faculty in the county department. Some of that was without not being his choice, as we both know. Some of it was because he wanted to, but he always hated when you lose a good person, but it's never the end of the world. Trying to figure out how to get people. One of the things that we emphasize, the university did a program for us about 10 years ago for questionnaire for hiring people. And I remember we got it, looked at it. It was good. It functioned pretty well. There's only one thing wrong with this. I hope we never use it because I want us to recruit everybody that works for us. I don't want to wait for the walk-ins. And we still today... I don't think it's anybody in our industry is close to the way we work at recruiting people. It's never ending. Just when you think you've got a good staff, you wake up and find leadership's gone cold on it. I was in a store in Tucson. It's been a really good store for us. And we changed the manager about 60, 90 days ago. The manager had been there several years, run the store. Terrific. Got sick, had some health issues, and over a couple of years, he went from being a superstar, where basically hadn't recruited any new people. The people there that had been with him a while, he was protective of, and the ones that weren't producing, the store had dramatic. It had gone from being a top 10 or 15 store in the company, certainly top 25. To bottom half in the last 18 months. What we sat and talked about this week was the fact that they were working on changing the staff. That's what it always comes down to.
Yeah. Thank you for visiting with me today, Bill. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
That's the end of this week's episode of Walton Productions' Be Epic podcast. Connect with Dr. Matt Waller on LinkedIn to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. A special thank you to our producer, Larray Mosier, and our marketing team at Modbook. Don't forget to subscribe on SoundCloud and join us next week for another epic episode. Thanks for listening.